Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Andy Rowan, Big Jim and Goody are with me as usual. We'll be looking back at all the Premiership action, as well as speaking to London Irish's Ollie Hassell-Collins. Plus, we'll be looking ahead to the return of the Champions Cup this weekend. So settle back, enjoy, and make sure you've subscribed on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
How's your week been, lads?
Very good.
It's your birthday.
Well, yeah, park the birthday. I'm just more bothered about the award. Sports Podcast Awards. I was out celebrating all weekend. We are the greatest rugby podcast on this planet. So a massive thank you to everyone. We said it in our thank you speech. Massive thank you to everyone who voted for us. The only slight tinge of regret that I've got about winning that award, well, two really. One, it would have been nice had this mad COVID world not sort of taken over the last few months and we'd had a real live award ceremony that we could have rocked up like absolute heroes and had a massive night out again. That would have been great. But secondly, as it was online, and as we know, there were two presenters presenting the awards. James Haskell was one of them, and he refused to give us the award, didn't he? Because his podcast is absolute garbage. But yeah, we are the greatest rugby podcast in the world. So
and humble.
Yeah, very humble about it as well. Thank you, ladies. No, generally are humbled. You've got to celebrate your own success, haven't you? But the award ceremony was last Thursday evening. We've had to keep very tight lips over this over the last few weeks since the voting closed and we knew we'd won the award. And yeah, some joyous memories brought back to me. Seeing the video that we did in Belfast and seeing Jim's shocking shirt that he had on that night.
Why were we not invited anywhere? Why were we not allowed to go and accept the award humbly? Is it because, I'm surely Haskell wouldn't have let us not do that.
There was no award ceremony, but basically Haskell said, and I spoke to the guy from the Sports Podcast Awards, sent me a message and said, Haskell was absolutely raging that he didn't win it. He's got about 14 podcasts, none of them won anything. And he refused to announce us as the winners as well. So the lady had to do it. But
oh, thank you is what I want to say. Thank you. I don't know what we get. I don't know where we get to go. But Andy Rowe will be peacocking on LinkedIn for another year now. That'll be part of it. How funny is LinkedIn? The fact that like you could be a bid man and you could put yourself as an environmental scientist on there. On LinkedIn, it's a bloody great platform. But nonetheless, yeah, Andy Rowe, it's another kind of award that you can add to your list of awards.
Two-time award winner now, two times. Jim, you got an award, well, not an award, a certificate, didn't you, over the weekend?
Yeah, I did, yeah, thank you. It was actually on Friday. I got my motorcycle license from Harley-Davidson Edinburgh, got a sticker. It's on the back wall for the people watching, people listening. Also, wait there, hang on.
Please tell me it's the helmet. Oh, no.
It's a bag. I got a rucksack as well. So I got a rucksack and a pen and my boots and my motorcycle. So yeah, I passed, lads, is what I'm saying. Got my motorbike license. It's going to look unbelievable on Instagram. That is all I'm thinking the whole way through. Andrew, get you in the sidecar or not?
No, mate. You're having a midlife crisis. Anyone that wants to take a motorcycle test and drive a Harley, or ride a Harley, shall we say, at nearly 40 years of age, Jim, I don't like motorbikes, Jim. They're dangerous. And as a father of four, I know you want your time away from the kids and you want to put some pictures up on Instagram, but that ain't me. I'm happy in my range, mate.
Andrew, you're bringing it down now. You're making me feel bad now. You sound like Beck. I'm just thinking Instagram, it was either that or it was golf. And as you know, golf is a sport for white, balding, arrogant males. And that doesn't fit me. That doesn't fit the mold that I'm in. So
you are balding.
Prove it. Prove it.
I'll bend over a bit.
I can't. My neck's sore.
Are you going to join a motorbike gang?
Well, I might set one up. I don't need to join one. I'm going to set up the Hamilton Harley Edinburgh crew, if that's the name. Just sounds cool and edgy as fuck, does it not?
Yeah, just call it the Melted Wheelie Bins. That'd be about
well,
right.
That doesn't sound cool, does it?
Yeah, it does. Really cool.
Does it? All right, well then. Easily convinced and manipulated. But yeah, so big shout out to Edinburgh Harley. They put me through the course. And hey, I'm going to the shop tomorrow to have a look at what bikes I can fit on, what bikes I'm going to get. And it's either that or golf. And I've chosen the bikes for now. We'll see. But Andrew said it's a midlife crisis. I'm not even 40. I ain't through. Arguably, you could say I am halfway through my life or even further past that. But Andrew, goodness me, 50. You were 50, weren't you, at the weekend?
No, I wasn't, James. No, I wasn't. You know full well I wasn't. I was 42 in honest years, which is about 26 in Fijian years. Or if you take out the two COVID years, it was my 40th. Let's just say it was my 40th on Saturday. So we won an award on Thursday. It was my birthday on Sunday, actually. So we went out for dinner on Saturday night. And then Sunday, I wanted to sit at home and watch my good friend Jim Hamilton commentate on London Irish against Harlequins and see him on TV.
But you went to the farm?
No, we went to the zoo.
Oh, did you?
She was like, we've got to take the kids out. What do you want to do? And I went, well, let's go to the zoo. So we went up to the zoo, which was good fun.
You love animals, don't you? You are an animal man. You eat a lot of animals. You eat a lot of them, like especially fried animals. Yeah. Do you do anything else with animals or not? Is it just look at them?
I do a lot of work with the Dogs Trust, which is a fantastic organisation, yeah. Saturday night went out for dinner. Sunday we went to the zoo and I wanted to sit home and watch Jim Hamilton on BT Sport. And apparently, Jim, you were waxing lyrical about your new favourite team, the Harlequins. Oh, such a pleasure to commentate on and watch. Who the fuck are you, Jim? Like that, you have turned.
I am second voice for BT Sport commentating on the big one, the big game on Sunday. So it's just backing up the interactions on social media. As you know, Andrew, where do I start? Let's start with that game at the weekend that I was involved in. It was tough, is what I want to say, Andrew. I know you've done a few of them recently. A lot going on. And I looked back at the game. I know Andy Rowe will get us into the rugby a little bit later on, but it was a tough gig because so much was happening. So I went back and watched the game. I missed loads. It weren't like the hashtag always Edinburgh versus the Lions off tube in the studio in Dublin where there weren't much happening. There was so much happening that my head was scrambled. I'm trying to ad lib, I'm trying to hit the names, I'm trying to hit the detail. I missed a few bits. I didn't miss anything major. I missed some detail stuff around what could have been and what should have been. I missed talking up Tizard a couple of times and some of the stuff that he did. But anyway, Austin picked that up in the studio with Benny Kay because they're the go-outs, aren't they? So hey, it was good. It took me out of my comfort zone. That Brentford Stadium is phenomenal. I know Goody mentioned it on the podcast a couple of weeks. Andy Rowe, you went for 10 minutes and then the missus called you home because you're a podcaster and she needs to get you home. I don't know why she wanted to get you home, but she did. But
he's married now, so he's not allowed out.
I snuck out, but she found out.
Yeah, reports were, Jim, that you were outstanding. You used some big words.
What big word?
I don't know. Someone messaged me on...
You're just trying to be nice, Andrew, aren't you?
No. Like, people were saying, generally, I had some really good comments about you. I'm like, this is fucking weird. Why is all my DMs being filled up with people telling me how great Jim is? I'm like, how about me? I didn't think that. I was very proud of you, James. And I did have a little flick on last night when I put the kids to bed. You sounded so good, Jim.
Are you drunk still? What are you saying all this for?
Well, we'll talk more about the Premiership in a minute, but the Champions Cup round of 16 is back this weekend, and we don't see two-legged ties in rugby very often. Are you guys fans of them?
See three-legged men. Hey, we're back. Forget all this credible media.
Not in your house, Jim. Not in your house.
Very true, actually. Very true. I'm going on holiday, so I've sorted myself out down there. So there's more visibility is what I want to say.
Yeah, listen, I think it's great. Obviously, there's been, you know, a revamp to the competition over the last couple of years. You look at some of the games got cancelled, didn't they, pre-Christmas, and there was a bit of hullabaloo around some clubs that weren't happy about EPCR and how they handled some of the cancellations. I know Leinster had a big sort of moan about it. They said they could have got a team together and EPCR said no and gifted the points to Montpellier and all that stuff. And then we had Leinster hosing Montpellier by about 100 points. There was other games that got cancelled. I know Toulouse, their game was cancelled. But effectively now we're at the knockout stages, the last 16, back-to-back. I love the back-to-back games in terms... I used to love them in Europe as those middle games in the group stages where you play home and away. And we had some massive ding-dongs at Leicester against Wasps back-to-back over the years and various different clubs. I used to love that back-to-back thing. But then actually now, making it knockout back-to-back games and obviously the points differential there. And I played in one of these. I played in the final, the big one actually, a few years back, the Championship final. Worcester Warriors against Cornish Pirates. Everyone remembers it.
Didn't see it.
Yeah. But it was a two-legged final. So we played away first leg and then home second leg. I think I got man of the match in both games, but, you know, doesn't really matter what happened. But I actually really enjoyed that nervousness around you play week one, you know, and then how many points you got to try and win by if you're at home or whatever. And it's, I played in one for Wasps as well against Stavrons, a knockout game, two-legged knockout home and away to qualify for the Champions Cup at the end of my first year at Wasps. And I remember we beat them at home by 2 points, I think it was. I got a penalty the last play of the game, a really simple penalty. So to put us 2 points up, and everyone's like, you're going to have to Stade Français, you've got absolutely no chance. They'll do you by about 15 in their own patch. And then we went over there and won as well. So I love it. But, you know, it's really exciting. A couple of weeks coming up, some massive games. And I was actually piecing together and trying to look forward to the quarterfinals as well. And, you know, who's going to end up playing who. I love the fact that, you know, we haven't seen really any dead rubber games in the group stages. And now we're at this stage where it's knockout last 16 and there's a lot of big teams left in. So it's going to be absolutely cracking a couple of weekends, I think.
How do you remember all these games that you played in? All I remember is the ones that I carved up in, which was...
India.
And that's it. I genuinely don't remember any other games. How do you remember all them games, Andrew? Have you, like, before the podcast, have you gone back through the archives just to remember that, or the tip of your tongue? I mean, or you could be making them up and I'm nodding like I believe you, either way.
No, do your research. No, it's just one of those things, because it is the first real time in top tier competition, you know, that we've seen these back-to-back knockout games. I love it. I really do. And so it made me think back to what I've done in my career. And yeah, the big one was Worcester against the Cornish Pirates. That was a huge, huge one. I remember we won down there and a few of us like, let's just go to the local pub and have a beer with some of the fans, some of the home and away fans, and we'd beaten Cornish Pirates by about 10 points. And Richard Hill was like, no, there is going to be no drinking until we have won the championship next week.
Oh, all right, Gregor. All right, Gregor.
All right, Gregor. So anyway, a few of us went to this pub anyway and had a couple of pints with some of the fans and we got a bollock in. I was like, all right, mate, drop me.
Any games in particular we want to highlight that you guys are looking forward to the most?
They're all big. There's a Paris derby, Stade Français, Racing, Exeter, Munster, a lot. At this point, I could read them all off, but they're all big. But Toulouse, Ulster, I like the look of Ulster this year. URC, they're going well. They've had a couple of tough games in South Africa. And I say that because they've lost them two games, but I think that'll put them in a better position, having played two tough South African teams away, to then go into France away. They'll be battle-hardened, is what I'm saying. They've got a bit of strength and depth, Ulster, as well.
Jet-lagged.
Oh, Andrew, you're right. Actually, now you're making me think that they can't do it in Toulouse. But Toulouse, everything's about Dupont, isn't it, at the minute? And I can't wait to watch him play again in Europe, absolutely carving up, whether or not he's on the bench, whether or not he comes on. But I like the look of Ulster at the minute. I really do. I didn't think they'd do much in Europe this year. And off the back of them Saturday games, we could talk about some of the other ones if we want. But I'm looking forward to see if they can do us something.
Yeah, and Sunday for me, Jim's mentioned Saturday, Montpellier against Quins, top of the top 14 against Harlequins, who are our champions. I say our champions.
They're our champions.
Yeah, Jim Hampton's favourite team now. It's such a pleasure to watch and commentate on them on his Twitter feed. You absolute turncoat, Jim. Absolute turncoat.
Goat sees goat.
Goat sees goat. You've gone from what's their culture? They're just all blowbags. They all, you know, they grow a set when they play Saracens, to now, oh, such a pleasure to commentate on them and watch them play.
Did I say that? Is that what I said?
That's what you put on Twitter, mate. Not just what you said.
Yeah, but I won't put it like that. I was like, it's so good to commentate, so good to do this. It's just like, love it. Yeah, I'm going to delete the tweet now, but add a lot of interaction, so.
Don't delete it. Be yourself, Jim. Just be yourself. Be that person that you're trying to pretend to be as well. Claremont, Leicester as well will be a big one. Loads of it's fabulous competition. Listen, Leinster, the form that Leinster in are over the past couple of weeks, they've gone down to Munster and absolutely dispatched them in the URC. They beat Connacht by 50-odd the week before, and they're going back to Connacht this weekend. So it's really interesting. Like, you look at some of the games this weekend. So in France, Bordeaux played La Rochelle, and Christophe Urios, the Bordeaux head coach, slapped, or tried to slap, Renaud Gara.
Let's say he slapped him. headbutted him.
I'm just going to say, he dropped the head, wanted to eat him, got his knife and fork out, and was ready just to dish him up. So they're going to end up playing each other 3 weeks on the bounce. So they played the weekend just gone in the top 14, then obviously the next 2 weeks. Same for Paris, the Paris teams. Racing 92 absolutely dominated Stade Francais last night in the top 14 Paris derby.
But they're miles better, aren't they? Racing are miles better than Stade.
Yeah, but then Stade have got Lamape, so he's hard as fuck. And they're playing each other 3 weeks on the trot now as well. So kind of weird the way things like that happen. But yeah, some massive teams. And then Leicester are top of the Premiership at the minute. They want to translate that form into Europe, as they have done so far this season. You know, they're playing Clermont, who are not performing that well, but they're normally a big European team. And then if they can get past Clermont in the next 2 weeks, they'll probably end up playing Leinster in the quarterfinals. So like some big old games. Leinster looking tasty as anything at the minute. And yeah, it should be a massive couple of weekends.
Jim Goody rattled off a few of his favourite memories just before. Have you got any from your days in the knockout stages of the Heineken Cup?
2 minutes here, 2 minutes there, right?
Yeah, there's a few. Been involved in a few biggies. Can't really dig too far into the archives, but I'm going to. Great competition. Goody mentioned it there. He also mentioned the Worcester Cornish Pirates, which isn't a great competition, but it is if you're playing in them. But the European Cup, absolutely love it. And, you know, for me, I've accumulated a load of caps. I think I got 49, but let's just round it up to 50 and say I got a cap. So a load of ones, but they were big ones. Like, where do you want to go? Do you want to talk finals, semis, quarters? Where do you want? What do you want?
Why don't we talk about your post-rugby career and the way you foresaw what you were going to go into, and you put yourself in the centre of that photo for Saracens to try and make sure that you were stayed current for the next year. Was that planned?
You're right, it was, mate. What a stroke of genius. That's what it was. I knew I was retiring. I thought, you know what? And there's a funny answer, and there's a serious answer, because I'm a humble man, and in years gone by, I've just been at the back of pictures, just, nah, I don't want to be in. I don't, it's not about me. You know what I mean? It's not about me. But this one, I thought, fuck you all. I was like, I am going out on a high here. I have been to the well all this season for Saracens. I played in nearly every game. Let's just round it up. I played in every minute of the game until we got to the quarterfinals, until we got to the really important games, and I didn't play. And I got to the final, and I remember being stood on the sideline against Racing in Edinburgh. And I was like, I am going to be absolutely devoed if I don't get on. And I stood there. Luckily, there was a knock on or something. And I looked up, there was 42 seconds to go. And the difference of being on the bench to being on the pitch, well, you saw the celebrations like I just won the World Cup. We hadn't, we just won Europe. But the celebrations were remarkably different. And I remember going up and I thought, this is it. This is my final moment to be front and centre. So behind me is Brad Barrett, the captain, even though he's lifting the trophy up. Marrow and Owen, you can't even see them. And me and Petrus Duplessis, who's on par with me in terms of stealing a living, we are literally jumping up and down in front of the picture. And that went viral, didn't it? Because that was the showcase. That was the intro to all the games of the European Cup for the year after. So rightly deserved is what I should say. But that was my final moment as a rugby player. What you saw that picture was me, the guard down, the man that felt he deserved that moment. And that was it. I have never stepped on a rugby field again. That was it. Ironically, in Edinburgh, on me back, absolutely bollocks, having played 40 seconds. And that was it. That was the final hurrah.
Well, a question on that, Jim. Tell us about the night out then, because from what I hear, it was the post-match celebrations that made you retire from playing the game, because you went that hard that you got an illness that then made you not being able to play rugby ever again.
You want to speak to Billy Vunipola. We'll get him on at some point and talk about this, because he used to call me the Beyonce of Edinburgh. In fact, I might have called it myself, the Beyonce of Edinburgh. When you go out and get absolutely mobbed, so you had to hide. So you can imagine the night out. We're in the Jam House. Everything was paid for. I don't know if you can say that because of Saracens. But I mean, we all put into a kitty and it was all free off the back of that. And we're at the Jam House. Me and Kelly Brown are on stage. Genuinely, I feel like I'm a Red Hot Chili Pepper. I am flying. Poor Beck's out, heavily pregnant with the twins. Massive bump, belly button popping out everywhere because she's close. And I'm living the dream. Rockstar Beyonce's in town. Get back to the hotel, 3-4 in the morning. And it was big, but it wasn't like Belfast big. And I couldn't get out of bed the next day. Thought I had food poisoning, thought I had alcohol poisoning. And that was the start of the illness. And the retirement came off the back of that. And I remember getting the train back the next day because we had extra on the semi-final the Saturday after. I'm on the train, I'm lying by the toilet. I mean, you talk about rock and roll, I'm lying on my back by the toilet. Billy keeps walking past just saying, Beyonce, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I've been food poisoned. Someone's poisoned me food. Something's happened. And my last memory of that weekend, and everyone's memory, because they've all got videos and pictures of it, is me in the back of me Mondeo. Kelly's missus is driving me to stay at their house because I'm that ill. And my head's hanging out the window and everyone's shouting, Beyonce's going out.
So what you're saying is you went a little bit too hard and embarrassed yourself, right? Because you can't handle your piss.
Beck, absolutely raging. But I went out on my sword and I went out with a story and I went out on stage. The Red Hot Chili Pipers, as they called me.
Let's have a look at the premiership now then. Sale v Saracens. That was a bruising encounter, wasn't it, to kick off the weekend?
Should we talk about Al Sanderson's hair first or not? He's succumbed. He's just like, that's it. He's got a similar hairline to me. Like, that's like, when I look at it, it's like a little bit thin in the side, a little bit at the back, but nothing too bad. And he's just gone, forget it. It's going. He looks hard as nails. That's what all I picked up from that game.
I'll tell you, Jim, you've got a lot more hair than he had because it's been going thinner and thinner. Another compliment for you, Jim. Yours isn't anywhere near as bad as what his was. And then fair play to him. He's just bicked it. And now he looks like a cage fighter or something. If he tells you you're playing shit, you're like, yes, boss. You'd absolutely shit yourself because he did look mean. But yeah, the game itself, it was always going to be a bit of a war, wasn't it? You know, the way Saracens bring their physicality, you look at Sale, the South Africans they've got in their team, they don't hang around, do they? They go looking for contact like you wouldn't believe. And there was some big moments in the game, weren't there? There was obviously the decision around, should it have been a yellow card or a red card for Davis on Faf de Klerk, you know, but Saracens were good. They played this brand of rugby, 41 kicks from hand for Saracens in the game. So basically it's a kick every 2 minutes. Now, if you imagine the ball's only in play for 40 minutes a game, and that's really high, I think. So it's probably like ball in play time is probably normally around anywhere between 35 and 40 minutes. They're kicking it every minute that's on the clock in the game. So, but that's how they play. And they, you know, they knew that Saracens against Sale, coached by an ex-Saracen in Alex Anderson, probably knows the ins and outs of how to try and put pressure on Saracens better than anyone else would do. And Sale kicked the leather off it as well, trying to negate what Saracens do. And it was a really good game in terms of the fight, the desire, the contacts, the physicality and all that stuff. There wasn't any flash Harry kind of performances like you saw on Sunday that Jim, you commentated on in the Quins game. It was abrasive. It was tough. It was everything that you'd expect a Sale Saracens game to be about. And, you know, Sale didn't really take the opportunities they had. They had a few opportunities, but coughed up the ball a few times in Saracens 22. But you've got to credit Saracens for their defence. And, you know, that really kind of nailed their home semi-final, I think, for me, with that victory. And they've come back from the Six Nations, got some players involved. They had a massive game last week at Tottenham, then obviously Sale away. And then I think they're back in. They've got a big one this weekend, though, Saracens. A massive game. Breathe away.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I'm probably not going to watch it, but yeah, it's good to point it out. A couple of headlines from that, Bernal, outstanding.
Back-to-back man of the matches, though.
There you go. But not that he had a dip in form, but he did so well when he was at Bristol's and he was a standout performer. It's taken a while for him to come back into the Saracens team and shine how he did at the weekend. And Mark McCall mentioned it after the game, didn't he, in terms of, well, after the game against Bristol at the Tottenham Stadium, they didn't play that well. He mentioned it again after the game, Sale at the weekend. They didn't play that well against Bristol. But the thing is, you've got with Saracens, they're a big team, aren't they? They're a big team that when the pressure's on or when they need to either back up a performance or come off the back of a poor performance, there's no better place to go and do it up in Sale, where physically, that's going to be a more comfortable game for them, I imagine, with no disrespect to Sale, because that's the Saracens' DNA. Is the Wolfpack, is the defence, is the kicking game, all them things. So Sale has always been an easier game for Saracens because of the way that they play. Where they've struggled before, Saracens are teams like London Irish who throw the ball around, Harlequins, my team, who throw the ball around, Bristol's, again, a similar thing as well. So I think Saracens, we're now seeing a team, like we are with a few of the other teams in the Prem, business end of the season, the quality shine through. So that's a big win, like Goody said, up in Manchester.
Hell of a win for Wasps as well, Goody.
Yeah, huge. Didn't see it coming, to be honest, because Gloucester have been so good at home. Wasps have been patchy, you know, really inconsistent. When they're good, they're really good. When they're bad, you're looking at them going, geez, you know, you wouldn't expect the under-15s to play that badly sometimes. And they can do that in games, both be sublime and ridiculous. The interesting thing, a few eyebrows were raised on the selection of the Wasps team. Dan Robson was dropped to the bench obviously an ex-Gloucester player as well. But Will Porter, who's been coming on at nine for Dan Robson, has been playing really well. He started and got picked ahead of Dan Robson. And then Dobby, as he's known, Dan Robson, comes off the bench, slots a wonderful drop goal. We saw George Ford do it earlier in the season, didn't we? From that goal line dropout, catch it, bang, 45-metre drop goal back over the post. And that effectively won Wasps the game. There was a line out at the end where Gloucester had a line out 5 metres out to try and win the game. We know how good their driving line out has been. They scored a driving line out try at the weekend as well. And Vifafita gets up, steals it, and they boot it out, and the celebrations were pretty well. But yeah, listen, Wasps are, yeah, they're trying to get in the top eight. There's an outside chance, I think, with the way fixtures are going to fall, that if they win all their games, they may still make top four. Very, very slim chance. But because a lot of the teams above them all play each other, if they can win all their games, and they've got a lot of boys back fit now, so Odogwu's fit, Launchbury's fit, Malachi Fekitonau's fit, Jimmy Gopper's fit.
Barbary's playing well again. Jack Willis, yeah.
Yeah, you start naming, and if they can win all their games, they could get to, I think it's 70 points. And you just never know. But I think they'll just be focusing on top eight and you know, trying to sneak, first and foremost, past London Irish, who they've got to go to in a few weeks' time to play, you know, that game. And their main focus will be that. But it was a really good win. Gloucester will be really frustrated with themselves. Everyone would have expected them to win. They'll still get, I think they'll get 5 points from this cancelled game against Worcester that will push them back up towards the top four. But yeah, Gloucester got it in their hands still. If they win all their games, they qualify for the top four. So it's in their hands as to what happens. But they'll be very frustrated with the last couple of weeks. The Worcester game getting canned by hook or by crook last week by Steve Diamond and his men. If they can get the 5 points from that, that will make a big difference, which, you know, we expect them to off the back of, you know, the committee that's being put together. But then they'll be very frustrated at losing at the weekend.
And Jim, I know you said you didn't pick a few things up at London Irish v Quinns, but it was hard to miss Marcus Smith. He was settled right back in and playing well after the Six Nations alongside Danny Keir, wasn't he?
In the second half, he was good. Not that he wasn't good in the first half, but London Irish I was really impressed with. And me and Goody had a bit of chat, because we love our ruggers, about London Irish and the way that they play, and Harlequins, two similar teams. Obviously, with Quinns, you look at their team, on paper, it looks like they were better than London Irish in terms of the quality that they've got, but they've been away. Don Brandt came in as captain. Marcus Smith was back at 10. Danny Kerr's on form. Joe Marler was back in the team as well. Esther Hazen, quality player.
I could see. He's ridiculous, isn't he?
He would be, like, as in, if I'm a Premiership manager, a player like him is your number one choice, as in across any team. I can't think any team in the Prem who wouldn't have him as number one. What he does is just every week. It's not that he just does it every now and again. Making game lines, scoring tries, physicality, rocking up. I'd have him in every single day of the week. But also Rona for London Irish, very similar in terms of what he does as well. So quality game. Again, I spoke about it at the start of the show. It was so difficult to commentate on because there was so much. So as a viewer, you would have been loving it. It was breathtaking at times. And there was quick taps, quick throw-ins, line breaks, knock-ons. It was mental. And I'm going to segue slightly. The talking point before the game was Mathieu Reynal, the French referee.
No.
The breakdown, the scrums, no. I thought he was fantastic. I really did. And the big thing, you're thinking before the game, right, you've got a French referee, issues around the breakdown, how will they manage the scrum? And the breakdown was a bit of a free-for-all. And I think it was important, like Nick Evans came on and said it's important for the growth of the teams or whatever, or something like that, around having a French referee. But I just thought the game was brilliant. I thought it was a great advert for what rugby should be when it's played in the summer. I mean, in dry conditions, on a decent pitch. So I just thought it was brilliant. I thought both teams threw it around. Harlequins were definitely the better team. London Irish could have scored four tries. I say could have. It's all well and good. It's like Goody saying with England, like they could have beat Scotland. They should have beat Scotland. They should have done this and they would have won the Six Nations.
You finished fourth, mate. What are you on about?
Mate, you're getting rid of your coach, apparently. So I don't know who for. We're settled. In Scotland, we're settled. Nothing's been said. It's all quiet. But my point being, around London Irish, that was it for them in terms of their season, trying to make the top four. The fact that they came away with nothing from that game and they blew so many chances. They're still a quality team. They play a fantastic brand of rugby. They've got some great English players. They've got some great exports as well. A big turning point was for them was when Nick Phipps went off with the yellow card. Yeah. I think Harlequin scored two tries. When Danny Kerr went off, nothing really happened for London Irish. So for an advert for a game of rugby, it lived up to exactly what we thought it would.
Your point being, Jim, Harlequins play a fantastic style of rugby, a pleasure to watch and commentate on.
Did I commentate on it or not?
That's what you said on Twitter. Absolute furred.
Oh, no. How many interactions did I get? I got about 15 followers off the back of it. Andy Rowe wanted me to tag him as well. I was like, why am I going to tag you? Nothing to do with it. Deflect. Deflection.
Well, Quins have arguably, well, they have been the form team over the last couple of seasons. I mean, they won last year. How do you think their form is going to translate over to European rugby this weekend?
Going to win it.
Is that a wee? Was that a wee, Jim?
I couldn't say wee. I need to see how they perform. I need to see how they go at the weekend against Montpellier away. If they can win that, then we will go all the way. That's the big thing. Because if you're Harlequin, right, and we know how difficult it is to go back-to-back for premierships, don't we, Andrew? There's only been a few that have done it a couple of times in their career. But we know how difficult it is to do that. Do you look at Harlequins, and I'm asking you the question, Andrew, as not a fan of Harlequins, and me who've questioned them, have they got enough in Europe?
Yeah, well, this is the thing with Quins, and you said it many times during lockdown. Who knows? The way they're not going to change the way they play, right? Their DNA, they've openly come out and shown us what their DNA is, how they play. The only thing I will say that you could have questioned them on last year was defensively. They always had this thing of, if we concede four, we'll score five, so it doesn't matter. But when you get to Europe, you can't necessarily go that way, and especially the knockout stages. So they've got a massive challenge this weekend against Montpellier, who they're going to offer a very, very different challenge to what London Irish did at the weekend. You know, Montpellier are absolutely mahoosive. You know, Paul Willems are in the second row. They've got size beyond belief. So it's a very different challenge for Quins. But what we know about Quins is they won't change the way they play. Tabo Matson's tried to change their defence. They were coming up and out on the edge, weren't they, at the weekend, and were nearly getting caught out. I think that is something to do with how they're going to try and defend in Europe as well. If you let a team get momentum through just sitting off and soaking up tackles like Montpellier can, they're just going to take you apart in terms of the close quarter stuff. So where they're trying to get off the line, they're going to make mistakes. When you fly off the line, like Quins were at the weekend defensively, which is something that they've added to their game, I think, over the last sort of month, in doing that, you are going to make errors at times. But also, it's the risk-reward. So you're going after teams, you're going after people man and ball, and you will get big shots, you will get intercepts, you will get this. So they're trying to improve their defence, no doubt. Their attacking game is phenomenal. You know, when you've got a Marcus Smith, you've got players like Caden Murley on the wing, who I think is ridiculous. I really do. Esther Hazen in the centre, he can bring physicality. But we know the Quins way, the offloading game, Dom Brandt coming on short lines, getting the ball out the tackle. That's the way they play. Danny Kerr sniping. They ain't going to change that. What they need to do is, you know, be less porous in defence, and that comes with that line speed that they're trying to work on and see how they get on this weekend. But yeah, can they go on and win Europe? Possibly. You know, the brand of rugby that they do play, ball in hand, is hard to stop at times, isn't it? You know, they've got a decent set piece as well. Obviously, Joe Marler running the scrum there. But it's how can they handle it? Can they handle a team like Leinster in how they play, which is effectively Ireland? Can they handle a big team like La Rochelle or a Montpellier or someone like that in terms of the physicality and the power? Well, they will be okay in attack, but defensively, that's the question marks. And yeah, I heard Austin say on TV, actually, that he's questioning, do they go full board? Do they put the first team out because they want to try and win the Premiership again? You knock out rugby, you've got to go full board. And you know, if you're a Quins player, you want them to go with the full noise against Montpellier away, because if you can sneak a win down there, you then bring them home, you're looking at knockout rugby and quarterfinals, potential victories of that, and who knows where it can take you. So never knock a gift horse in the mouth, and you know, you have to go full bore in this competition.
I don't know what a gift horse means, but if you are Harlequins, I would preferably say, as a fan, you'd want to go all out for Europe, wouldn't you now?
Yeah, 100%.
If you think about it, so say you make the final of Europe and you don't win the Premiership, that's an evolution from my point of view for this Quins team. Do you know what I mean? So when you look at it, you'd be like, right, they could win the Premiership again. And yes, there's going to be a load of excitement. They've got the ability and the quality to do that. But if they get knocked out of Europe now, where's the evolution in terms of them as a squad? I know it sounds like a bit of a ridiculous statement. And then on the other one, the statement that was made, Danny Kerr. And again, I know there's a little bit of hysteria. Goody, you've spoken about him as well. Austin made a big statement. Second best scrum half in the world behind Anton Dupont. And Eddie Jones ain't giving him a sniff. I don't want to go over old ground, but he's so important, isn't he? Apparently he's had his lid done as well. That's the rumour when I was in the stands with the people. He's had a bit of his lid done at the sides.
He's had a lot of it done. He's had it. It's not the first time either.
How's he hid it? How's he hid that? Because
it's just the front bit, so you don't need to hide it. You can just go in, get it done, and it will just grow back as long as you don't have to shave your head. Shave your head, take your boots off, put your boots back on, and off you go.
Bend over, boots back on, boots on the hands, tie around your neck.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Well, let's go back to the Premiership game at the weekend. We can have a chat now with one of the London Irish players from that one. Winger Ollie Hassel-Collins joins us. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having you, mate. It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get you on. It obviously would have been nice for probably you to come on after a win. I was at the game, commentated, put it all on social media. Look at me, look at me. So I saw you doing your thing, which was class. I mean, it wasn't through, if we're going to go straight to the game, it wasn't through a lack of a poor performance, was it? You had the opportunities in that game, just didn't take them. And against a Harlequins team, who, as we know, are a champion team, how was it looked at from your point of view as a team?
No, exactly that. I think we're kind of our own worst enemies. I think the most frustrating thing is that similar situation last year. Obviously, we went on this nice run and then we kind of lost five or six on the bounce and kept falling down the table. So we've had these two past weeks been pretty tough. Got three or four games left. So just want to make the most of them and obviously keep building up and see what we can get to at the end of the day, really.
I will come on to your stuff in a minute, but I'm intrigued to know how some of the coaches were after the game yesterday. One of my favourite ever coaches that I've played under is Brad Davis, who's obviously coaching you boys now. Viva, as we called him. Viva Brad Davis.
Yeah.
Absolute legend of a bloke. But his toys can go out the pram pretty quickly as well. I absolutely love him as a guy. How was he after the game? Was he raging? Has his teeth come out again? Because his teeth fall out when he gets angry.
Yeah, no. His teeth didn't fall out, thankfully. That's when you know you're in a bad place and his teeth fall out. Nah, he's probably fuming inside, but he kept to the corner, kept on the beers. I didn't have too much to say, but I'm sure we'll have something to say on Friday when we go back into training.
What is the vibe like there, Ollie? Because I was chatting to Les Kiss before the game and we've had Nick Phipps on and it seems like there's a good group of players, a real good, nice mix, Australian mix, Irish mix, a load of young English players as well. It seems like a really good club to be at.
Yeah, I think everyone's loving it. I think this season especially, we've kind of built something real nicely. I've said it a couple of times. We've got a lot of talent coming through the academy and obviously Deck and the guys bringing in like Adam Coleman, Sean, Phipsy, all of those lot. Adding to that. So yeah, we're loving it. And if you look over the whole season, the teams we've beaten, we've done Exeter twice, which hasn't happened for a long time. We're happy with how we've gone, obviously. Yeah, like I said, the past 2 weeks been tough, but I think, yeah, we're building nicely and to keep adding to what we've got. And hopefully next year, a couple of years, we'll be in that top four consistently.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's talk about you then. Obviously, having a fantastic season, 8 tries, and you've made the most clean breaks in the Premiership from any player. So things are going well individually. You've obviously been in and around Eddie's squad as well. Frustrated to not get a cap yet since last June, or is it a case of you've been in the squad, you're happy there, learning, and you know things will come as time goes on?
Yeah, I loved my time there. They're the best players in England, so you know you can't go in there and not learn something. Even just the training, the professionalism around the place, just stuff I can take back to Irish, was massive. I think now it's just made me hungrier and, you know, try and go on that summer tour, try and perform consistently, keep building the stats, and then hopefully if kind of Eddie can't ignore me and, yeah, he'll take me and then we'll see what happens from there, really.
If in doubt, though, mate, just move up to the second row. That's where you used to play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, back in the day. I don't know if I'm tall enough yet.
You're the size of a horse, mate. Stay out the forwards and just run over people, run around people.
Mate, the second rows get paid the highest in the team. They're the number ones, and rightly bloody so, the most gifted. So, Ollie, you're missing a trick there. Not that the wingers don't get highly paid, but the second rows, they're the ones.
I thought it was prop.
Yeah, you might be right. Tight head props and second rows are the one. The poor hookers, I mean...
Tens as well, mate.
Yeah, and tens. Poor hookers. Being called a hooker and then getting the lowest paid in the team. Anyway, we're not here to talk about money. That's not why we're here. We segue.
True.
Any more tats or not? I've seen there's a few tattoos, and then I've actually read somewhere here that you've got a Harry Potter tattoo or something on your arm, have you?
I do, yeah. I've got a snitch. I think I'm going for like the kind of like a random look. I don't really have like a theme going on. But yeah, I've got a golden snitch on my arm.
Well, I don't know if you've seen mine, mate. I've got a Superman tattoo that at the age of 24, it looks sick. Now I'm 40 years old. I'm looking at it like, what the hell? So be careful, is what I should say around tattoos. And also, apparently I'm friends with J.K. Rowling or Joe. So maybe I'll get her autograph where you can get that signed. Top of the back or something. That looks sick. Goody, what do you reckon? Would you get that done or not?
Mate, I've got literally no tattoo. I've got loads of body space for tattoos, but I haven't got one tattoo on my body. It's just not me, mate. And seeing your Superman tattoo every time I see it, Jim, I'm like, it looks like Batman now. It doesn't even look like Superman.
got a wolf head there, wolf pack. See what I did? Saracen's wolf pack, half head.
Yeah.
Because I was half a player.
Talking about movies and stuff, I know you mentioned the snitch there in terms of a tattoo. I'm hearing your nickname at the club is the Grinch. Do you want to tell us about that?
There's not much to say, really. So I did the ACE program coming up through that, and then boys above me just gave it because apparently I look like him. And then it's kind of, they got signed, and then I got signed, and then it kind of carried on through the first team. But there's not much to it apart from that I look like him, apparently.
Let's just throw some random ones out there. It's good having new young lads on here about performance, about speed and all that. So the quickest one in the London Irish squad, like we're obviously watching you lads in full flow, and the power output is... It's just a different level to when myself and Goody played. But hit us with some of the numbers and some of the athletes that are in this London Irish squad.
Oh, it's tough. It depends on the day. Obviously, Henry Arundel coming through. He's pretty rapid.
How rapid is Henry? Because there's all this talk around him as well.
I can see him hitting like a 10-2 meters a second, maybe a little bit more. Obviously, Ben Loader as well. We're all kind of 10-1s, 10-2s on a good day with the wind as well.
There's obviously, you know, a good young vibe there. The likes of, you know, we mentioned them before, Arundel, obviously, Tom Parton, Dolly Parton, as Jim calls them at the back, yourself. The back three players there in the backs, there's a lot of youngsters coming through. It must be really inspiring to play together. But also, you know, I know Wysocki Naholo was there for a bit and he didn't really play too much. Did you learn much off him, or was it a case of he wasn't really there too much to learn off?
Yeah. No, I did. He was always, even though he wasn't kind of playing, he was kind of on the touchline. Just giving me little instructions here and there when he could, just in drills and in the 15-on-15 kind of stuff. And even just dropping him a message. He was so easy to talk to, just kind of asking him if he could go over the game from the weekend, or I know, what do you think of this clip? Yeah, he's there. He's like a nice tool to have, really, just to go to. Same as when I was there with Topsy, obviously a legend of London Irish and rugby, really. So he was nice to have as well. Similar thing. Being able to go to him and being, oh, what do you think of this? What could I have done? I learned so much of both of them. And what they've achieved as well is, yeah, I can't complain, really.
And what about you young lads as well then, Ollie, in terms of looking at players? And there's a lot of them. I can say this, you might be a bit young, but I'm sure you probably do know the past of London Irish. Unbelievable academy. Loads of young players coming through. But then they tend to go to the likes of Quinn's or Saracens and these teams. Is that spoken about? And I suppose now it's a two-pronged question, because you're now building a team that really, on its day and on paper, could potentially be in the top four for the next few years going forward.
Yeah, like we said earlier, the goal is to all be able to play together in the same team, like having a whole 15. I think Northampton chucked one out, didn't they, earlier, a whole Academy 15 or English 15. So I think that would be quality for us and for the club. And yeah, like I said, we've obviously had those past players have kind of come through and then gone. But I think, yeah, we're building nicely, and I think the coaches are keeping us all happy. So we're enjoying learning, playing together. And yeah, the vibe's great at the club.
All right, Ollie. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, mate. Really appreciate it. And best of luck when the season gets back underway for you.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, Ollie.
Class having you on, mate. Cheers, buddy. Top lad.
Top lad. Mate, I commentated, and you'd have seen it at the weekend. He is massive for a winger. 6'4". The legs on him, the quads on him. When I saw him, I was kind of taken aback at how big he was as a physical specimen.
I remember you mentioned it 2 years ago, and I was thinking double-barreled name, hell of a lid, blonde hair. Really? And then I saw him, I was like, yeah, really?
You can see why he makes more line breaks than anyone else in the Prem. And I love how humble he was around who's the quickest in the squad. He wanted to say himself, didn't he? He's like, yeah, it's definitely me, but I've just got to talk someone else up.
They're good, mate. The London Irish lads are good. And obviously, me and you nearly signed there. And in hindsight, it was the right decision that I didn't go there. But what they're building there, and I mentioned it to him, and I didn't speak about it when we were chatting about the game. There seems like a really nice energy there. Some real good young lads coming through. Was Thokonasinga was there, wasn't he, back in the day as well? And Anthony Watson and these lads, they've had good bat threes coming through the academy and they just let them go. So I suppose with my neutral hat on, I hope that they do get an opportunity to build, but it's all going to come down to success, isn't it? It's all well and good playing a great brand of rugby, but seeing young lads like that come through, I mean, where else is there for them to go if they're playing well and scoring tries and, you know, making it into the kind of top four, top eight as it is this season to Europe?
Well, let's finish off the Premiership then. Steve Diamond described his side as pathetic, embarrassing and inexcusable in their 45-10 home defeat to Newcastle. What have you guys made of that?
Bit harsh from a consultant, is it not?
I don't think he's going to be a consultant for long, Jim. He's announced
That's what he is, though. Official title is consultant. That's what I saw and I thought, my God, that's a bit harsh. But look, he is harsh. We know that. And the saying goes, without being harsh, I'm going to be harsh. Can't polish turd. I said it. I know you shouldn't be getting your pants pulled down against Newcastle. And everything you're hearing out of Worcester is that they have the same food poisoning as I had after that final in Europe. So if they've had that, they ain't feeling good. I mean, he's calling them out. That's what he's doing, isn't he? He's playing tough love. He is calling them out publicly. He's trying everything, isn't he? Like, why not? He's a consultant and... From what I'm hearing, he's told lads, if you don't want to be here, there's a hooking door. You can get out and get straight on the M5 and go and head down to Cornwall if you want. So you can only say what you say. And to get, without being horrible to Newcastle either, to get 40-odd points putting you against Newcastle at home, that ain't good enough, is it? Just for any team, really. Not being harsh, that's reality of a team like Newcastle. They're a good team. I love Newcastle. I love Dino. I love the way in which they want to play. It's a tough place to go and play. But if you're Worcester... I know there's no relegation battle, but have they thrown the towel in?
That's the point for me, and I've said it before about Worcester. Because there's no relegation, where's the desire? And I said it about Worcester a few weeks back, didn't I? Where is the desire? Well, here's the facts. You've taken 45 points at home to Newcastle. Steve Diamond, who is the boss next year, he's a consultant now, he's the DOR next year, he's the gaffer. He's trying to bin players off, and there's players that have left. You know, he's trying to reshape the squad. There's going to be massive changes at that club in terms of the players that are there. And all you're thinking is, how bad's training going to be this week? Because there's no relegation and, you know, there'll be some players on that field that won't play for Worcester next year. So it's like, oh, it doesn't really matter, does it? That's what came across in Steve Diamond's sort of opinion of the performance and the game and everything like that. So, yeah, he's raging. It's going to be a tough place for the next few weeks. And ultimately, when you're looking at it, if Diamond is the boss, you've got to kind of abide by what he says. And, you know, with no relegation, you're not getting much out of that team. And that's why I think relegation is very important, or a playoff game or something in there where there's a jeopardy on the line, because dead rubbers like that, we leave them for the URC.
Well, let's talk about the URC then. Jim, the South African teams are on a roll.
Yes, they bloody are. Apart from the Sharks, who got beat by Edinburgh the week before. I don't know if you saw the result from Friday night. It was close for the Dragons.
Why are you always so horrible to the Dragons?
I'm not. It's easy to say that, isn't it? My goodness me. Ross Moriarty, I'm going to say it. I feel for him massively.
Awful.
It's going to come out in the next few days what he's done. But for a man who's that hard to be making the noises that he was on the pitch, he's fucked himself. And I just hope that it was more a scream out of anger that he is going to be spending more time on the sidelines as opposed to it being... a really, really nasty injury, which my gut tells me that it kind of is. So, you know, we're taking the piss out of it. And, you know, 51 points against 3. A few of the coaches, Dean Ryan, came out and said after the game, at what point, when you look on paper and you look at the size of the two teams, can you compete? And Ross Moriarty is one of the players that can compete. So I'll say it, we wish him all the best. Like, I know, Goody, you're a big fan of his as well, in the way that he plays. He's a top lad and it didn't look great.
Yeah, he's hard as anything. Nice guy. Yeah, I've heard it's a pretty bad knee injury, so hopefully he can recover pretty quickly. But this is the thing, and I said it before around the South African teams, the way their season has always been kind of worked out, it's all based around the Rugby Championship, the Springboks, and when they play in Super Rugby. So we've obviously seen Super Rugby start over in Australia and New Zealand over the last few weeks. These guys are used to playing this time of year, right? So they go sort of March, April, leading into, you know, we're seeing all these big South African teams now playing a lot of their international stars because they're building up to the June internationals, aren't they? And that's where you're seeing, you know, where we've seen the South Africans not perform earlier in the season in the likes of October, November time, when perhaps all, none of the internationals are playing because they're playing the Rugby Championship and then they're on the November tour. Now you're seeing the value of the true strength of these South African teams. And, you know, I think all four of them won this weekend, didn't they? So you put 51 points on the Dragons. Okay, it's only the Dragons, but they just looked a different kettle of fish, didn't they, completely?
And that's the lead into the end of the URC. And really, I think how that competition is going to grow, and we don't know what's going to happen around them coming into Europe. Again, it's the whole who knows around rugby. The sooner we sort it out, the better. But they're not just dominant. They're extremely dominant physically. And that is the worry. I'm going to go back to Welsh rugby. I know that Edinburgh beat the Sharks in ridiculously bad conditions, but I reckon if it was a dry day, it could have been different anyway. Hindsight's a great thing, but comfortable wins across the board. We've seen 40 points, we've seen 50 points from the South African teams on anyone else who's gone there. So it's good for the URC, but is it good for the teams that are getting absolutely hosed by them when they're going down there? Well, I'm sure they're having a good little mini tour in the sun, that's for sure.
Any of the other games stand out for you? Leinster, big win over Munster.
Leinster were good.
That's the thing. As in, is it a surprise? Not really. Munster desperate to obviously beat Leinster, obviously. And it's all going to probably come down to them at the end of the season. Like, you could potentially see that. It could be an Ulster, it could be an Edinburgh in that top four, but it's going to be Leinster, right? So the big question around the URC is who can beat Leinster?
Ulster.
Ulster, yeah. That's it. Just. So again, this is one of the conversations, but I'm telling you now, a Stormers or a Bulls could beat Leinster, I reckon, on the day. Because apparently, and it's not been formalised yet, but what I'm hearing, because there's a lot of who knows, is that the final is going to be in South Africa.
Really?
Yeah, so having a final in South Africa will be class, I think, as a commentator. But that's where you're thinking, can Leinster win it again? Well, really, when you look at the results, but the fact that South African teams are coming good now, the fact that they've been comfortable, albeit the Sharks against Edinburgh game, and the conditions, with it being better June and July in South Africa than probably what it will be in our summer. Will it or not? I don't know. The climate, it's obviously Southern Hemisphere. It's the winter, but it's a winter.
Mate, if you, wherever you're playing, whether it's Joburg, whether it's Cape Town, whether it's Durban, it's way better weather than it is here anyway. So
yeah, but the big thing around it at the weekend was the officiating. I don't know if you saw Stevie Ferris. He was going off on one around the Ulster Bulls game. Rightly so.
Raging.
Mate, rightly so. Him and the great Bobby Skinstad were talking about it. Two yellow cards in that game, the Bulls versus Ulster. Treadwell puts a high tackle, stands his ground, shoulder on the Bulls 15. The slow-mo comes in. What annoyed me, right? I'm going to segue again slightly. What annoyed me was, in this game, the TMO kept piping in. He kept piping in the whole time, saying, oh, you need to go and look at this. We think this, we think that. Oh, there's no clear evidence. It was just an absolute shit show. And Kieran Treadwell gets simbined anyway, and there's a bit of uproar after the game about it not being a yellow card. For me, it wasn't a yellow card, but it was a yellow card. But in context of the game where the Bulls back row, Kutsia, puts an unbelievably physical shot in, similar high tackle but with force, and gets a yellow card, I'm like, I just can't work it out. And this is why even us as commentators, I commentate, lads, commentators, pundits, fans, coaches, it's like no one can work it out. It's just mental at the minute. We talked up the Premiership referees, talked up Matthew Reynal in that game. There just needs to be a step up. I know JP Doyle is now Scottish and he's going to be helping out the referees in the URC. This is the growth of the game. It needs to be aligned. And I get you're in South Africa. I get that you're not going to get the rub of the green. It was the same for Edinburgh versus the Lions. Some of the decisions around the breakdown as well. Like, lads, literally, they're not even on their hands. They're on their heads, turning ball over. Like, they're on their heads. Their feet are in the air and they're getting away with the ball. And you're looking at it, it's like, one, trying to commentate on it, but then trying to justify it. It's, oh, you're in South Africa, so you're not going to get the rub of the green. Like, if we're talking about the growth of the game and all these things, that can't be it. We can't be saying, oh, you're in South Africa. Lovely spot, by the way. A couple of weeks on a micro tour, if you're not playing, it's probably the dream scenario as well because you get to go out. I don't know if you can go out because can you go out or can't go out? COVID, different places. But it needs to change is what I'm saying. I don't want to be talking about the referee, but that was a headline point out of that Bulls-Ulster game.
While we're talking about South Africans, there's a few rumours floating around, isn't there?
There are, Andy Rowe, there are. The biggest of the big and the smallest of the small. Luke Diago, the biggest of the big, massive second row. And the smallest of the small, Faf de Klerk, the other end of the height spectrum. Both off to Japan from Sale Sharks, from what you hear. They're both leaving. I'll be sad to see Faf de Klerk head out to Japan. Not because I don't want him to earn as many yen as possible, because he deserves to, but he's been brilliant in the Premiership, hasn't he? It's where he came over to the Premiership at Sale. I don't think he was anywhere near the South African setup, and then he's obviously exploded in terms of form at Sale. His hair's gone everywhere. His hair's got blonder. He's got better and better. And
came on the pod.
He came on the podcast, yeah. I got him down at Twickenham as well, interviewed him down there pre-match. Lovely guy. But yeah, I've heard he's off to Japan to pick up a lorry load of yen, and rightly so.
With no disrespect to the Japanese league, and I've only watched a little bit of it, but speaking to the lads, they ain't going for the ruggers, are they? They're going for the yen.
I think the yen's a big factor.
Exactly. I'd love our currency to be called yen. How shit does the pound sound when you call it the yen?
What's worse, Jim, is the Scottish pund. You can't use those notes anywhere. The Scottish pund, you can't use it anywhere.
Well, you can't, Andrew, if you've got the green ones, the £100 notes that you knock about with, no. Anyway, chatting to the great Bobby Skinstad, he said there's an interesting model in South Africa at the minute around Razzie Erasmus. Well, it's kind of out there in the public domain, it's not really a rumour, around the encouragement of players in their prime to go and earn in Europe. And we've seen that, haven't we? You just mentioned two of the players there. Etzebeth is another one. Vermeulen's obviously another one. I know he's not in his prime. But they're encouraged. Players are now encouraged to go and cash in the Premiership, but more so in France, where the big money is. And then what they do is that they have the opportunity then to bring these young lads in. And this probably begs the question, doesn't it, around the growth of the game in South Africa. Maybe they've got the right model. Everyone keeps talking about Ireland in terms of how they do things with the schools and the colleges, but South Africa clearly have got something right. And we saw Hendricks are playing for the Lions against Edinburgh at the weekend, gets an opportunity because the starting tens are playing over in Europe. And then what they do is then bring them back when they're absolutely fucked at the age of 36, 37. Like, as in not even on the age of 32, 33. They're bringing them back, like Scout Brits, Bismarck Duplessis. These players bring them back when they are absolutely bollocks, but they still do a job. So maybe they've got it right. But it's an interesting model is what I'm trying to say, is that they're encouraged. And you do wonder whether or not in England they'll start to do that. I know they probably won't, but not being centrally contracted. And yeah, different experiences and trying to earn a little bit more cash. It could be a way of developing more players. Anyway, a segue slightly. The great Bobby Skinstad told me that, so I just thought I'd share it.
Right, let's finish things off then with the good, the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, there's a fair few bits to get through today. We'll start off with the good, and we're going to start off in the Championship. Ealing have won the Championship. They ain't getting promoted because the RFU said no, their ground wasn't ready. But we'll give Ealing a massive shout out. The Ealing Trailblazers, Trailfinders, they smashed Saracens last year in the Championship. But this year they beat Richmond 60 points to 10 to win the Championship at the weekend. So massive shout out to the Ealing Trailfinders.
I thought they had 100 points put on them by Saracens last year. Was it? I don't know. I didn't watch too much of it. Won 100 points.
Yeah, I think they beat them at some point. But anyway, there we go, James. Let it go. What else was good? Hooker Kurt Eklund scored a hat-trick for the Blues against Moana Pacifica. So a bit of Super Rugby in there for you, Andy Rowe. We'll come back to a lot of Super Rugby later on because it's absolutely shocking, some of it. Toulon, get a mention of the good this week. They hammered Lyon 43 points to 10 away from home in the top 14. And Cheslin Colby is back scoring opportunistic tries, chasing up a kick and getting a bit of a lucky bounce. So great to see him back fit and firing again after some injury issues. Talking about South Africans, we're going to talk about South African teams now. And the South African sides playing in the URC won 19 out of a possible 20 league points at the weekend, winning all four games. They scored 16 tries and only conceded two. So we've talked about them plenty on here today. They get a mention in the good. Tip of the slipper to those guys. What else was good? We've got to mention it, haven't we? Got to mention one of my old teams in the good. Wasps. The mighty Wasps got a win down at Gloucester. 27 points to 21 to keep their very, very slim top four chances open with a good away win down at Gloucester. They're probably going for top eight, but that's a great win for those guys. What else was good? Harlequins absolutely dismantling London Irish, scoring 7 tries. They look really good. But Jim Hamilton's commentary was also outstanding on that game. So,
what are you looking for here? Are you digging for something here? Like, or what? Why are you being so nice?
I'm just nice to you, James.
Why are you being defensive?
Why? What are you feeling guilty about? What have you done?
Who did you speak to? How do you know?
Exactly. So that was good. What else is good? The podcast. I can't give us the good because we know we're good. The podcast. We won the best rugby podcast in the world at the Sports Podcast Awards last week. So we get a mention in the good, Jim.
Do we win anything? Like, genuinely, apart from Andy Rowe putting it on LinkedIn, do we get anything or not? Is it just like the accolade or the fact that we can just peacock about it and put on our bio that we're the world's most popular podcast? Like, what can we do?
Did you not get the Aston Martin that gets delivered?
Actually, you say that. No.
No, I don't know what we won. We've won basically a trophy, so, and the accolade of being the best rugby podcast in the world. So, yeah, that was good for us, but we're not going to give ourselves the good because that would be a little bit too much. The good this week goes to Leinster, who won at Thomond Park for the third time in a row, for the first time in 84 years. Absolutely dismantled Munster, their biggest rivals, their nearest and dearest in terms of ferocious rivalry. They're looking good, Leinster, going into Europe this weekend. It's basically the Ireland team, minus one or two players. Johnny Sexton's back this weekend. He didn't play against Munster, but yeah, a massive win for Leinster, and they get the good this week. The bad, a few bits of bad. James Davis having to retire from rugby at the age of 31 due to concussion. Some really bad news there. Sticking with injuries as well, Ross Moriarty's injury, we spoke about it earlier, that didn't look too good, so fingers crossed it's not as bad as we all fear, and hopefully he can recover pretty quickly from that. What else was bad? Danny Kerr played exceptionally well, and we'll give him credit where it's due in terms of performance, but we've got to mention, and I can't believe you haven't even got this record, Jim, that is his fourth yellow card on the spin. The last four games he's played, he has got a yellow card every time in the Premiership. How bad's that? Four on the spin. Did you ever get that, Jim? What was your record?
All smoke and mirrors. I think I might have the quickest yellow card by any player, but that's not an accumulation, as we know. It's all smoke and mirrors. No, I didn't. It's what I'm trying to say. I'm defending myself to the ills here. No, never.
It's probably because you didn't start four games on the spin, but there we go. Yeah, so Danny Kerr, four yellow cards on the spin. He gets a mention for that. And his five yellow cards this season, so he's got five this season, that equals the record for the most in a Premiership campaign held by the enforcer, second row, Gareth Archer. So you've got one of the toughest to ever have done it, in Gareth Archer getting five yellows in a season, and one of the slickest, smoothest, shortest players to ever done it in Danny Kerr.
He was tough. Gareth Archer, I've got a funny story on him. So I remember we played Bristol and it was a second team game. Oh God, I've said it. Yeah, it was. I was coming through, but Cockers was playing, right? And I was a young pup coming through, and Gareth Archer's going round mincing all the kids, right? Absolutely mincing them. And then I've flown into a breakdown. He's got me pinned down. I mean, I didn't flinch. I don't even want to say that I flipped him over because he probably still filled me in. And then Cockers is like going mad at us in the huddle. He's like, I'm going to sort him out. I'm going to effing sort him out. Effing this, effing that. We're like, all right, Cockers, me old blow bags. Goes into this next breakdown, comes out with his elbow facing the wrong way. I think Gareth Archer put him in a bloody armbar and snapped it the wrong way, and he come back out with literally his arm between his legs. Hard as nails.
There you go. The opposite. Danny Kerr is the opposite of that, but they've got the same record. So maybe Danny Kerr will go on and break the record before the end of the season. What else is bad? Worcester. Get mentioned the bad. You can't be losing 45 points to 10 at home. There's pants pulled down, the skid marks everywhere, especially to Newcastle. And Steve Diamond made his thoughts very clear as well. It's going to be a brutal few weeks at Worcester Warriors training after that abject performance. But the bad this week has to go to, unfortunately, we mentioned it earlier, the Newport Gwent Dragons, James. And the recycler, he's the defensive coach, Luke Narraway. We're going to name him. The defensive coach of the Newport Gwent Dragons, they lost 51 points to 3 at my old team, the Sharks, in South Africa. They've conceded 170 points in their last three games. I mean, there's bad and there's bad, right?
Blame. It's all I'm saying. It's just blame. It ain't my fault. It ain't their fault. It's his fault. It's their fault.
It's Luke Narraway's fault. So the bad this week goes to the Dragons after conceding 51 at the weekend, making a total of 170 points conceded in their last three games. So that's why the Dragons get the bad this week. The ugly, so much ugly this weekend. It is unbelievable. We're going to start off, Dan Biggar's hit on Semi Randrandra. How that didn't get anything, I've got no idea. But then we go in red cards galore. There were so many red cards. We go back to Super Rugby in a bit, Andy Rowe. We're going to start off, though, with Sione Calamifone. He got a red card for a dangerous tackle on Gwilym Bradley in the Scarlets versus Cardiff game in the URC. That was pretty bad. But heading over to Super Rugby, that was really ugly. Tuina Tualima got a red card for a dangerous clear out at a ruck with his shoulder to the head in the Reds versus Brumbies game. That's the first one. Shiloh Klein got a red card for his no arms high hit on Ethan de Groot in the Crusaders against the Highlanders game. Nemani Nangutha, swing arm to the head of Tane Edmed, another one. Caleb Clark gets a mention in the ugly this week with a flying knee to the head of Tomasi Alossio. That saw him sent off. It was like a WWE move. Absolutely crazy. So the ugly this week goes to basically Super Rugby. There was a sending off in all four Super Rugby games at the weekend. Six red cards in total in the last two Super Rugby rounds. So basically, that is the ugly this week. They all get it.
But it's all right, though, because the 20-minute thing, so they only go with that player for 20 minutes because they knew. They were like, it don't matter. We can do flying knees in the air. I mean, he got some hang time anyway. We shouldn't try and immortalise bad behaviour.
Thanks, guys. And you got a few shout-outs to finish off with, don't you?
Right, yeah. Got a big shout-out to our listeners in Singapore, Andrew. And there's a few of them. HSBC Rugby Sevens finally back this weekend. Got lots of friends, like I just mentioned, of the pod out there. And especially the Bucks lads, the Wanderers SEC and everyone else who listens. They'll all be heading to the Singapore Sports Hub on the 9th and 10th of April. So make sure you get your tickets at singaporesevens.com/sg. And we'll hopefully be there next year to share a pint with you. I'll be there this year. If we can get away for the holiday, I'll head over and just come say hello for a night or five.
I can go. Get me on that flight. As long as it's business class, I'm there. Someone get me on the flight and I will go and drink with those boys in Singapore. A massive shout out as well to Richard Craig ahead of the RAF Vultures versus the Navy game on the 9th of April at the Ealing Trailfinders Stadium. And also a massive shout out to Staines Rugby Club, Staines, who are in the League Cup final this Saturday after a tough few years. So good luck, lads, and to the ladies as well.
Yeah, you got Staines. Well done, Marcus and the Staines boys. We've got a sad one, and from the podcast here, we're sending our condolences to all the friends and family of Maddie Lawrence, who played for the University of West England. She was injured during a match, and after 2 weeks fighting for her life in hospital, she unfortunately passed away. So our thoughts are with, obviously, Maddie, her family and friends. And they've set up a GoFundMe page, and money raised will go towards a foundation in her name, which will support her favourite charities. So from the podcast, myself, Goody, Andy Rowe and everyone here, we're thinking of you and your family.
Yeah, 100% thoughts with everyone. That's really sad news.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Goody. Thanks, producer Tristan. And thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure you're subscribed on Spotify.
Rugby Spod.
Spotty pod, 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 pod.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new favorites by previewing short audio clips before committing to a full listen. You can even watch some podcasts with video or just keep playing audio in the background. It's everything you want in one app. Music, podcasts, and audiobooks across any device. Play anytime, anywhere, any way you'd like with Spotify. Try today.